All right, we're back. Final hour of Ben and Woods on a Friday morning, getting ready for the weekend. Woodsy heading out to the game tonight.
Yes.
And I've got to say, I do really appreciate the fact that win or lose, good week or rough week, like it's been for the San Diego Padres, that we get the manager on every Friday morning.
Yep.
To talk to him, to see what's going on. Our manager's report, as always, is brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking, it's better. And we thank the skipper of the San Diego Padres, Mike Schilt, for joining us again this morning. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Good. We're emotional fans. We're a wreck.
We're a wreck. I get it, man.
You know, we were talking on our roundtable yesterday, and this morning it's a post from Bill James, the Red Sox stats guru. He said, fans of a 500 team overreact to every win and loss. A good team, you know, you can't win them all. A 100-loss team, you get used to it. But a 500 team, emotionally, you're just as good as the last 24 hours. And I don't know. Are you sensing that maybe is what's going on here in San Diego? Just we can't handle these swings, you know, every week and every other week, what's happening with your team right now?
I can't speak for that. It makes sense to me.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah, that's how it kind of goes.
I get it.
Well, and you know, I was thinking about it too, talking to Mike Schilt here on Ben and Woods this morning. I got two little boys, and I always tend to see the good in them, even when they do things that I'm not in favor of, Skip. And I always look for the good in what they're doing. I know you're the same way with your team and your guys. All right, I'll flip it on you and ask you, what is it about your team that maybe, I don't know, driving you crazy like my kids do to me sometimes as well?
I understand the question. I get it completely. I'm not a rose. I tend to lend on a positive scale. I tend to give people benefits of doubt.
Sure.
I recognize how hard this game is. I mean, that question kind of sets me up a little bit. I get it. I don't know what you mean to tell you. I'm not going to go Full Metal Jacket on anybody because I don't have to.
Sure.
But the other thing is, you'll get to know me. Look, I'm never going to air anybody out on anything publicly. But the thing is, right now, there's nobody to air out. There's nothing. I lose sleep out of frustration for our group and the people that are listening. That is sincere. Those emotions that people are feeling and the frustration, I get it. I understand it completely. I would lose sleep if I had a group of guys that, and I alluded to it last night, you know, and again, we're both, you know, your analogy is accurate. You know, look, I love these guys, you know, and love can be blind, but I've done this a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, fortunately I've had a lot of teams that are similar to this, thankfully, or otherwise I wouldn't have this job. And that being a group of guys that, you know, have really grown into, not only in some cases grown, in some cases just, you know, and actually in most cases, the best version themselves we're getting every day. You know, I have the privilege of being able to walk in the clubhouse and see how people go about their business, staff, players, and then I have the privilege to be in a dugout, which I've been in since I was 8 years old, and recognize what appropriate preparation and effort is. And so, and I've, over the course of, you know, the 100 years I've done this, it feels like, which is great, and I want 100 more, recognize when it's not right.
Yeah.
And have a responsibility to address it. But there's nothing on my list every day that goes, man, this is a huge red flag. You know, the fact of the matter is 5 days ago, we'd have had this conversation. You'd be like, club's looking great.
100%.
Here we go. And granted, I can't erase 5 days. Wouldn't try. Actually, I probably wouldn't the last 5 days, to be honest with you. but then we go out and play, get five quality starts in a row, out-hit our opponent, lose five games. You know, you want to start to point a finger at somebody? I don't know. You want to feel like you need to blame somebody? I don't blame me. You know, do what you got to do. But... You know, there's nothing glaring that says this club isn't doing this, and this to put themselves in a position to win. We just aren't getting it done. We're not hitting with runner in scoring position. We're not getting a big hit. We're not syncing up our pitching and our hitting. enough. We've gotten the good pitching, as I mentioned. Granny did a nice job of settling down and getting to the seventh, you know, and we gave it up immediately. So, you know, long answer to your question, but that's what I got for you.
No, and the question was not meant to be a setup. It was more like when I watch the team, and I've watched the team, the thing that has probably frustrated me as a fan the most is base running, because running into outs just kills you, and, you know, yep. getting picked off, leading the major leagues and guys getting picked off.
That's real.
And I know you want them to be aggressive. I do. But Jerickson Profar also said, we've got a skipper that lets us just play baseball. Is there a time for you, or has that time already come, where you're like, I got to clamp this down because running into outs is hurting us more than it's helping us right now?
Yeah, no, that part's, I mean, I get it. I got to own up for that. The reality of that is, though, and I appreciate the quote from Pro, means a lot. And I want guys to feel that way. I also want people to appreciate it from my lens is there is a trust factor. You know, I've said this and done it and been a part of it at basically every level and won championships or been a part of an organization or team that's won championships. And those championships really take place regardless of level in the identity of a club. And what I'm getting at is championship players think and do for themselves. They just do. Now you say, well, what's your job, dude? What are you doing? Sitting back and, you know, just hanging out.
Just letting them run wild.
Yeah, no. The job actually, for that to really work, is a partnership with the players and a work that takes place on a daily basis. Now, that's our job. We love it. That requires hours of preparation from a staff to put down, to boil down something that is simple and actionable for the players to be aware of, for us to work on, and then they own it and then go play. And there is freedom in that. And so when you have that structure, you have that partnering, you have that preparation, it allows you to go out and play free and make aggressive but also good decisions. Now, I feel like other than the last, you know, 5 days or so, we've done that very, very well. The last 5 days, I feel like we've made decisions because, and this is another trait that I think is positive, but I'm not alibying, you know, the mistakes. I'm not. I'm just trying to explain from my chair the genesis of them is that when you got a group of guys that care and care factor's high, and that's the thing that people listening and what you alluded to. And by the way, I don't mind you asking the question earlier. I'm just sharing my thoughts.
Sure.
You can ask whatever you want. I'm a grown man. I'll cry later. but it gets magnified. My point being is when you have a group that has a high care factor, just like people listening, just like people frustrated and, you know, who's to say how people react? Not my gig, but that's the point of it. Is when you have a care factor that is that high from a playing group, and maybe in certain circumstances they're looking to do things to make things happen because they're like, man, we want this, and then they err on the side of aggression to do it. That's actually a good trait. It's a good trait because have you ever seen teams that don't have that trait? That don't have a high care factor consistently, that aren't pushing the envelope, aren't trying to make things happen.
Sure.
Those teams aren't real fun to watch. And I can tell you what, I've not been on any of them for a long period of time. Those are the teams that have issues. And those are the times when you ask me the first question that you say, hey, we got to figure this out because we're not providing an effort level and we're not pushing it and we're not learning. And there's two things. You also, in another big leaguers, but you learn what that looks like. You learn from that aggression. You learn from that mistake. And then we move on. And there you go. And then the last one is, once you have that environment where players can think and do for themselves, which we have, and you trust the IQ of their players, I don't know if there's a person on this call that doesn't want to go and allow themselves to go to their place of employment or to have a relationship in their personal lives that they can't be trusted. They want to be trusted, and they want to be free and allow themselves within parameters to be themselves. And when you have that, you have some pretty good things. Now, the last 5 days, who the heck is happy about that, that dons the brown and yellow?
Mike Schilt, the manager of the Padres, is with us. Good stuff, as always. Now, you said it's not time to go full metal jacket. You did go at least partial metal jacket on Eric Bacchus last night. And I know you're not going to blame umpiring for a loss. That's not your style. The call was atrocious. It's unacceptable for a game to end that way. I just kind of want to ask you, so when you go out there, you know the game's over. They're not going to change the call. Does what you say to the umpire, do you hope that maybe it leaves an impression for the next day? Is that kind of to just make sure you know you've the players, that you've got their backs? What's kind of the thought process in your mind when a game ends like it did last night?
I haven't had many games in like that, and to your point, like you know, we went 1-for-14 to run your scoring position. We had chances to not even be in that position, to even be in the bottom of the ninth. So we got to start there. We got to accept our role in it. That being said, you know, look, like I said last night, I respect the umpiring profession highly. I grew up clubhouse kid, shining umpire shoes and doing their uniforms for, you know, 6 years. And I got to see and live, you know, with those guys right after games in the clubhouse at Old Crockett Park. The umpire's room was right by the visiting clubhouse. They actually, I mean, get this set up. They had to walk through the visiting clubhouse to get to their locker room, which was right next to it. And I'd come down after doing a scoreboard, and not every night, but enough. And that was, you know, a little different era, too, in the early 80s, mid-80s. And, I mean, dudes would be beating on the door, you know, managers, players, you know, kicking at the door, trying to get in. I had to, you know, we had to lock the door. And so, man, it's a rough existence, man. But that being said, gosh darn, you know, you end a game on a call like that, cronies, you know, down 0-2. Pro grabs a bag with two strikes with a base hit away from tying the game. We got Suarez. Feel pretty good about life, you know, being able to, you know, grab that one and, you know, give us the best chance. And you know, you don't ever want to take the game away from the players on the field. You know, after the game, what do you say? I mean, heck, during the game, I was doing my best to try to get his attention. And, you know, I couldn't yell any louder. I was like, man, like, I know this dude can hear me. And he just he just ignored me. So after the game, what do? You got them, you know, on the field shaking hands. You know, it's like that point, damage is done. You tell them what you think in a few words that we can't repeat. And then that's it. But, man, that was a bad way to end the ball game.
No question about it. Talking to Mike Schilt here on Ben and Woods this morning, and I talked earlier about it in the show today, Skipper, that, you know, when I'm watching a team that's scuffling right now and had dropped at the time 4 in a row, and I'm watching, you know, Pro lay down a bunt to play for a tie in the fifth and the Merrill bunt, I know you talked about it in your post game after, but am I crazy? I mean, from my perspective is, it feels like pressing. It feels like an unconfident team. And you guys have shown the ability to string hits together a bunch of times this year and score multiple runs. I don't know. I'm not saying I necessarily don't understand it. I just wonder, is that the best way that you guys thought this is the best way we can win this ball game tonight? Because, you know, with the pickoff of Toddy and then two bunts given away, that's three outs given away out of 27, and that's the one I was kind of scratching my head at last night.
Yeah, man. I mean, listen. All due respect, you're going to ask me a tough question. I'm going to come back to you.
Sure.
I mean, you watch us play this year, right?
Yes.
I mean, okay. How many big innings of those innings have you started and worked through bunts? The thing about the bunt is it's very polar because
it is.
It's so polar because there's so many people that love the fact that we play small ball and we've won and the small things lead to big things. It's a mentality that says, especially when you're not scoring. All right. So yeah, and you can say, well, you're giving up an out, you're not scoring. What's the logic there? But if you look and go back to a lot of our bigger innings, there's a bunt involved.
I love the bunt for hit. I love it. I think it's great. And like Wadey's done a great job at it, and certain guys have dropped him down, I think, in really good situations. When I watch it, I'm going, ah, gosh, I hope it doesn't come back to hurt us later by giving up and out, you know, to another pretty good big league team. And, you know, I know we tied the game there in the fifth. Desperate's not the right word. It's pressing.
That's not even close to the right word.
Yeah, pressing is just kind of how I look at it.
But I don't understand that. I mean, I understand you can debate whether you should or shouldn't, but pressing, like, that's fundamental. We tied the game and it wasn't good enough for you. Like, we put ourselves in a position to tie the game again. Now you say, well, but at home, you typically play for the win, or the tie, rather. Not all the time, but because you have that opportunity. On the road, you may typically play for the win a little bit more. That's not an absolute, but that goes back to baseball 101. At least the way I was raised.
That's what I was going to say.
Can I step in here? Because I think I want to moderate this. I think Woods is so confident in what Pro's done at the plate and what Jackson Merrill has done the plate, just putting good balls and line drives in play.
That's where
he's just
from.
Like, oh, I want to see more. I want to see more swings from those guys.
I look. You got the easiest job in the world.
Yeah, 100%.
It's all it's all hindsight.
But here's the only thing I'll say to you, and I don't want to get in this big debate about it.
There's no doubt.
I really don't. I didn't, you know, really not what I want to do here, but at all. But, you know, as far as desperate, that's a strong word, cuz. The guy's just trying to get a bunt down to move a runner to try to put him in a position to tie a game or win a game, because two guys moved over. So there's nothing desperate or panicky about it. I mean,
and Woods said that was not the right word. He said pressing. I think pressing is something that happens when people care a lot. And I agree with you, Mike, that your team cares a ton.
But we'll just, you know, look, we can go round and round. I don't feel it to be pressing or not. I mean, again, you can have an opinion about it.
Sure.
That's fine. You can have an opinion about it being pressing. I'm just telling you my opinion.
Okay.
Bring you on here for my opinion.
I appreciate it. All right, last thing, because I want to end, because you do have some really good positives going on. With two of your top pitchers out, you have had guys step up and deliver really solid starting pitching performances. You got Fernando Tatis Jr., who just got 8 hits in a row, doing some amazing things. Even with the losses, there were some good things this week that I'm sure you want to highlight.
Yeah, I mean, I always want to highlight them. It's refreshing to be able to talk positive, but look, we lost 5 in a row. You know, we're not been good enough. I take the blame for it. Guys have stepped up in Joe and Yu's, you know, absence, and, you know, Manny's down now, and of course, Bogey's been out, and we got to continue to figure out a way to find solutions. And guys step up, and Randy Vasquez stepped up big time. Major was great the other night. It was nice to have a Padre homegrown combination with Campy and Major, you know, the battery of the night over in L.A. And there's some positives, and, you know, there's a ton of positives. That's why I'm completely confident in this group in the long term. I don't know what else to tell you.
You're a good man. We appreciate it as always. Thank you for your time. Good luck tonight against the Arizona Diamondbacks. We know this is going to turn around sooner rather than later. Appreciate it, Skip.
All right, yeah.
Thanks, Skip.
I'm completely confident in myself.
All right, appreciate you.
Good stuff from manager Mike Shield on our manager's report, brought to you by the San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It is better.
It's like me.
Got a little tense there for a second.
I'm good. That was like me arguing with my wife at home, dude. I'm going to start calling people cuz, though, because I really like that. I thought that was fun. I like a spirited debate. That was fun.
Absolutely.
That was great.
Absolutely. He's not going to back down.
No.
Certainly not to us.
No.
I know that.
I want you guys to call me cuz.
And I appreciate that he understands what our job is.
For sure.
And we know what his job is. And that's why it's my favorite segment of the week. We'll talk about it more when we come back after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I just got mad at Adam for banning somebody in our chat. I didn't know he was, like, taking personal shots. Sorry. Adam, you did fine. I don't care.
Chat's
the chat, the chat is like a war zone right now. Holy cow, man. Wow. What just happened?
I like people just copying and pasting their comments, bashing us or Adam or the station or whoever else, and then just copying and pasting from like 12 different accounts.
Holy
cow. That's going to make a difference.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you can come in the chat. You don't take personal shots. Like somebody took a shot at my kids yesterday. That's over the line. Anyway.
We heard a little bit of a different tone from Mike Schilt there. Not still. You know, he's positive things are going to turn around.
Desperate. That's a strong word, cuz.
Cuz! I love it. I had so much fun talking to Mike Schilt just now. I really
did.
That's
a strong word, cuz.
And desperate might be a strong word, but it's also in the same ballpark, I think, as pressing. When you're pressing, aren't you desperate for a hit? Aren't you when you're pressing? If you're in sales and aren't you desperate for a sale?
Well, here's the thing:
or a win, or whatever.
You can't hit the Padres both ways.
They can't hear us, Paulie. Nobody can.
If you think they don't care, then the problem is not that they're so desperate to make something happen that they're pressing. Because only teams that really want to win and really care are going to press and get desperate. A team that doesn't really care, they'll just go up and swing for the fences and take their hacks.
And I will tell you,
they're not going to go up there and try to lay down a bunt and do something different because they want to win. So you can't kill them both ways. You can criticize like you did. You don't want to give up outs by bunting. But you can't then say, oh, and this team has no heart and they don't care. They don't want to win.
Which I've never said that.
No, you haven't. And I disagree with the fans who say that.
I have never said, I don't think I've said, this year, I think one game, I'm like, you guys didn't show up. You didn't look like you didn't want to be there. We all know what game it was. It was against the Marlins and you had a chance to sweep and you didn't. And it felt like you didn't show up. But I have never once thought, you know, that they don't care. I really don't. I don't feel that way about most professional teams. And we've covered this team for a long time, day in, day out. You know, there's been moments that San Diego Padres have absolutely phoned it in. Phoned it in. 21? Bro, phoned it in. This year, I don't feel that way. I feel like one game, sure. But desperate is probably, you know, it's probably not the right word. And I tried to clarify. It's pressing. You know, pressing for a win. Pressing to make something happen.
Well, last year, players
playing
said
for a tie.
We started pressing during the season. And this week, in particular, has felt the most like the 2023 Padres. This is the lack of hits with runners in scoring position. Last year, the problem was pressing a lot of the season. And that's what it felt like a little bit this week. So I agree with you. I agreed with Mike Schilt when he said, absolutely 100% true. You don't want to be the team that just goes station to station and never plays aggressively. That's not a good brand of baseball to watch, and he doesn't want to be that team. So he doesn't want to put handcuffs on his guys. I'm glad you brought up the Profar quote. That was good. He responded to that well. But he did also acknowledge that you can't lead the league in getting picked off.
No.
He said that we can't do that. That's clearly something that needs to be addressed and fixed. And I promise you that there's being discussions about it. It's not simply being ignored and everyone going, no, keep doing exactly what you're doing, guys. This is Padres baseball. Reckless on the base pass. That's not what he wants.
And honestly, when I asked him the thing, and it's so true, we all do this of our kids and our spouse, I'm sure our spouses do it of us. They look for the best in us and forgive the worst. But there are things that drive my wife crazy about me, but she sees the best in me. And I think what I wanted him to say there was a perfect time for him to say, yeah, the base running's making me insane. Like, that's it. You know, base running drive me crazy. The runners in scoring position thing, it drives you crazy, but it's not a lot you can do about it. You trust the guys that you send up to have a good AB, and for the most part, they did, you know, and so I just...
That stuff happens.
You're going to have...
I don't have guys in scoring position. That's a bigger problem.
Correct.
I mean, the tough part, I think, is if you had to name Woods, who's the best base runner on the Padres?
You're not going to like my answer.
It's the guy who got picked off last night, I think.
Yeah. And the other one, I know he's also been picked off this year. Man, he's a really smart base runner.
Really smart.
Very smart. And, but, you know, there's certain guys that are on the base pass, and you're like, please just get him around. Please just hit one in the gap. I want him Cadillacing this one home.
And we talked in the round table. Huh, Sung Kim?
A bit
reckless sometimes. Maybe not the best base runner out there.
But his base
running good speed,
value is so high, but it he runs into a lot of outs, and we run into more outs.
But Tatis, if I'm Mike Schilt, you can't say anything to that guy. He's been one of your most dynamic base runners for years. Yeah. He makes so many good instinctual decisions. He read something at second base where he thought he's had something on the pitcher, and I've got third easily. And he got fooled. I mean, maybe the pitcher did something differently that threw him off. Something that does happen in a baseball game, in a situation like that. When you're trying to take third, get there with one out, so you can score that run, you know, try to tie the game, whatever, take the lead at that juncture. It does happen in baseball games. It's just happened a lot lately for the Padres, which is frustrating, especially for fans, and I would imagine for the manager as well, even if he's not going to directly say that. Yeah, he knows, and he said he can't lead the league in getting picked off.
I mean, and that was the question. That's really what the point of that. I wasn't trying to trick him, you know, but it's okay to say no. Some of the things these guys are doing are making me insane, because we all know they're making us insane too. But yeah, I mean, and I think, you know, once when I pressed them on it and said, well, it's obviously it's a base running. Oh, well, yeah, it is. Yeah, it's can't lead the league in that. So yeah, I'm not a gotcha guy, man. I'm not going to try to trick him, but framing it that way of. You know, I do the same thing with my kids all the time. Doesn't mean they don't drive me nuts and do bad stuff.
I think Rafa has the perfect. He says, Woodsy asked a hard question. Mike showed some fire, answered the best way he could. It was great content.
I had so much fun with that. I really did. It was really fun.
That's a strong word, cuz.
When the manager calls you cuz, that is really something else. It's really something else. Never been called cuz before.
Never?
Never.
Never. In Texas, even?
Never.
Never. It was a North Carolina thing.
Never. Cuz.
We'll take it out. Last time out. We'll come back. We missed it last week, so I got to make sure I save some time for things Ben likes, because we need some things that are good in the world right now. And you know that I see a lot of good in the world. That's coming up to wrap things up next with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Now, we got to make sure we save some time here, Benjamin, because we missed this last week.
I
was very disappointed.
I will.
I had vomit rising in my throat, and I really needed the likes.
You needed that segment to save you.
I did. I was legitimately vomited after the
what
show.
What was the cause of that? Did we ever determine
it
why
was
you
like,
were so nauseous at the end of last week?
I was sick all week,
yeah.
And then I had way too much coffee. I was broadcasting from home. It was like an oven in there. My kids were running. Anxiety was like pinging. And then we got off the air, and I just went, hang on one sec. And I went right back to the bathroom and just booted.
Wait until you hear this this tweet that just came in from Tim Flannery.
Love
responding
Flannery
to your tweet last night about the getting picked off and the bad base running lately. We'll get to that in a second. First, this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. What Flan has to say about all this right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So you want your players to be aggressive and go out there with an aggressive mentality, but Tim Flannery says, you probably should keep this in mind. Says, I used to coach saying, you guys lift weights all off season, hit in the cages for hours, watch videos of pitchers, all to get on base. The pitcher works out forever watching videos, and nine guys have gloves to catch the ball to keep you off base. So being on base must be important.
Very important.
So when you are on base, you should treat it like a valuable, precious commodity. And you should do whatever it takes to make sure that you are not erased from those base paths earlier than you have to be, before the third out is recorded. Should either be getting home or let those guys have a chance to drive you in. Now, there are opportunities to move to the next base, and you have to take those at times. But don't be giving up those chances once you get out there.
Well, it's like I said yesterday on the roundtable, man. If a pitcher, you know, buries one, ball skirts away from the catcher. You think you get a good jump, and you think you can take that extra bag, and he gets you by an inch. I'm not really mad at that. I'm not. Being picked off, though, is like, I understand wanting to get.
I mean, in stolen bases now, I believe the stat is you need to be successful, 80 to 90% of the time to make it metrically valuable to steal that base. That extra base is worth it, but only if you are making it between 80 and 90% of the time. If you're getting 7 stolen bases, but you're caught 3 times out of those 10, you are hurting your team more than you're helping your team. You're padding your stolen base stats, but you're hurting your team if you're getting caught that many times.
Yeah, no question. I forgot about this. Somebody just tweeted me. We tied the game. That wasn't good enough for you? I mean, no, because at the end of the day, we didn't win the game. But I that was my point. You know, I wasn't trying to get the skipper all pissy at me. But I do. It really wasn't good enough for me in the fifth inning. I would answer that, given the opportunity. And no, it wasn't. It wasn't good enough for me. I like that you reframed it as, I do have more faith in what those guys are able to accomplish rather than dropping one down.
Well, you want Jurickson Profar to have more faith. Jurickson Profar has taken great swings all year.
And his next AAB comes up and whack, you know, right into the gap, dude. Like, don't sell yourself short,
and
guys.
Mike Schilt said after the game, he didn't call for that.
I know. Just don't, but, you don't sell yourself short. Like,
but ultimately, I think it's important to remember, this is not the 1970s or the 80s, where dictatorial managers have whatever say they want over a team, and it's their way or the highway.
Well, it's also not the 70s and 80s in that you have a pitcher hitting and a very weak 8-hole
also
and a very weak 7-hole and a very weak leadoff, but gets on base.
You cannot be a successful manager nowadays without your players pretty much buying in and wanting to play for you.
Correct.
Would you agree with that? Would you also agree that based on the managers that A.J. Preller has hired, the players like playing for Mike Schilt more than any of the other managers they have had? Annie Green, Jace Tingler, Bob Melvin, Mike Schilt is number one. Don't think it's particularly close so far.
I don't either. And I don't get the sense it's because he just lets them run wild and do what they want. That being said, I mean, I watched an interview with Pro the other day, and I think Mara Luz asked him about it, and he goes, Mike Schilt. And I asked Crony about it a couple weeks ago. How's Schilty? Fantastic. Phenomenal. Best manager I've ever played for. You know, honestly, like, if that's what's coming out of the room, inherently that's a good thing, and you want that every single time. So, you know, there's people in the fan base that they're always going to point to the manager. It's fine. You know where I stand. It's on the players. It's on the players to win baseball games. The manager needs to push the right button, sure. But once he pushes your button, it's time for you to execute.
I mean,
Yuki Matsui, De Los Santos, on down the line. If you push my button, I got to get out.
If you have a bunch of yahoos on your team, the manager can't simply just be player's manager. I don't think the Padres are a team filled with a bunch of yahoos. They're baseball players. They're mostly smart and savvy baseball players. The right way to manage, and Mike Schilt said this to us, you know, smart players who know what they're doing, is to give them some freedom to do what they're supposed to do. Brian Dutcher does that at San Diego State with his teams. He says, you know what? We run a very disciplined defense. I let them kind of do what they want on offense. He's not the guy who pulls you for taking a bad shot. He knows it's going to happen every once in a while. And he's okay with that. I think Mike Schilt kind of goes on that same line that, yeah, mistakes will happen every once in a while when you give your team a little bit of freedom.
Sure.
But ultimately, you're going to be better off in the long run when you give your players the freedom to play baseball.
I mean, it's very much
short term. Sometimes this is going to happen.
It's very much like parenting.
I guess we'll find out at the end of the season.
Mike Schilt is right. Yeah, we'll see.
That his team will be better off and will be better at the end of the season for growing through some growing pains right now.
Yeah, for sure. It's very much like parenting. You give them enough rope sometimes and say, here, go ahead. You know, let's see if you can handle this. It's just a series of tests. But if the skipper or a parent or a boss or whatever sees things trending in the wrong direction, that's when you have to step in. And like I asked him, that's when you step in and say, hey, we need to put the kibosh on the bunting or whatever it may be, the running and the extra bags and you know, the leads and secondary leads and whatever. Let's just make sure we're not running outs, guys. I'm going to put the red light on. One of the most surprising things I ever learned in this job ever was, it was a former manager that told us, and I can't remember who it was, that damn near every single, maybe it was Skip, every person when he was playing with the Cardinals, maybe it was Greg Garcia, every person had a green light. Everyone. Yachty, Pujols, they all had a green light. Until they didn't. But they all had a green light. And I'm like, you're joking. Oh, no. No red lights at all. until you got one, right? And so some guys got it, some guys don't, but that surprised the hell out of me when he said, oh, no, Albert Pujols could run any pitch, any count, any base, anytime he wanted to go steal a bag, he could, until he couldn't. And I just was blown away, and that's how a lot of these guys run their squads. Makes sense to me.
All right, let's finish the week in with a, hopefully a little bit of a smile. Pauly has been working again, as always, to add to things Ben likes.
I like good, juicy, sweet strawberries.
I like a good marching band. I like a good, thin pancake.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
I like a barbecue chicken pizza. I really like those seats. I like a midnight buffet. I kind of like the smell of soft scrub. I like more of a small derriere. I like cake.
I like Ed Sheeran.
I like both a hamburger and a cheeseburger. I like clocks. I like how I've kind of set up my life. I like grasshopper pie.
Oh, no, I like it creamy.
I like good, firm banana.
I like just looking out at the sea. I like eating.
I like
moist.
I like curry.
I like big butts.
I like fried Brussels sprouts. I like more of a firm filling. I like corn.
I like Nordstrom.
I do like musicals.
I like pepperoni.
I like nice hotels.
I like Nick getting a start today. I like nuts. I like Steph Curry.
I like that song.
I like Squirt.
I like sake. I like San Diego State.
I like Straight Up, Paula Abdul.
I like to mix it up. I like science experiments. I like that song. I like the crispiness of the waffle. I really like cheese. Mm. I like the little lunch meat. I like very straight lines. I like cannelloni. I like a well-crafted headline. I like brown sugar. I like maps. I'll say I like Justin Turner.
I like going to golf games. I like diving into chores.
I like sugar.
I do like Butterfinger.
I like blue and silver are not bad colors.
I like the time change.
I like Major League Baseball's new rule.
I like the radio.
I like geography.
I like the knuckle method.
I like Skippy.
And I like pie.
I like Bob Melvin. I really do.
I liked Jace Tingler, too.
I like this day.
I like being right.
I still do like movie scores.
I like good food.
I like maps. Right.
I like when interviews can turn into organic conversation.
Oh, me too.
I do like a Stouffer's French bread pizza.
I like having the wind go through my hair.
I think I like shows that the characters have an arc.
I like the full lettuce, tomato, onion experience as well.
I like those kind of burgers.
I like the big overflowing bag of fries.
I like those little Smarties rolls.
I liked what I saw from Seth Lugo.
I liked his competitive fire.
I like walking around between the different lands.
Steve Kerr, though, I like that.
I like living on the coast.
I like watching Tiger still.
I like the idea of that matchup.
I liked what I saw in the preseason.
I like the aloneness sometimes of Texas Hold'em.
I like watching San Diego State basketball.
I like those cashew-buttered cashews.
I like cold, clear sake.
I like a lot of things.
I like Chick-fil-A sauce.
I just like rankings.
I like Steve Winwood.
I like pie gal poker.
I like to be informed on subjects.
I like Chicago.
I like Tom Petty.
I like the idea of another left-handed bat in the lineup for sure.
I do like a good Matt Damon film.
Same. I like being on the same page.
I like broccoli. I like Brussels sprouts.
I like a lot of things.
I like this shirt.
I like Wipeout.
I liked my omelet. Mm-hmm.
I like San Diego State at home.
I like when a baseball player can be more than just a baseball player.
I like vanilla.
I like the atmosphere.
I like the felt on a poker table, just kind of how it feels under your fingers when you're there.
I like rhubarb pie.
I like the window seat.
Changing the subject, I like that.
I like just the standard yellow peep.
I like how San Diego State's playing right now.
I like finer things.
I like calling a game.
I like fiction more than nonfiction.
Just like the cream.
I actually like playing golf with other people.
I've liked everything I've seen so far from Mike Schill.
I like Mexican food.
I like just the solar system.
I do like steak.
I like specifics.
I like going to 7 Mile Casino during the day.
Good I like Lord, that people are man. There having a good time.
I like my new eating schedule. I liked what I was eating.
Yeah, I like the variety of the menu at Sammy's.
I do like a good midnight buffet.
That's insane. I've taken road trips shorter than that.
Never ends.
Road trips.
I like the San Diego County Fair. Let's go retro at the San Diego County Fair, opening June 12th, the magic of the Midway, live concerts, and a nostalgic celebration of fashion, culture, and more. Buy your tickets now online. Learn more on what's happening at sdfair.com. That's sdfair.com. All right, you're going to the game tonight.
Yep.
Padres trying to break their 5-game skid. 3 more against the Diamondbacks, and hopefully... when we come back on Monday, whatever happens, I just want them to win on Sunday so we don't have to play our losing Padres wrap-up yet again.
It's a shame if they lose.
For like the 8th or 9th straight show. because this was a week that I do not want to duplicate going forward.
Mm. Yeah, me neither. That was not fun. Not fun at all. Yeah, see us out at the ballpark, say hello, and happy birthday our friend Maria in the chat. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Maria. Have a great weekend to all of you guys. Love you very much.
All right, that is it for us. Annie and Elston are coming up next. And then Gwynn and Chris, and then Padres baseball tonight, 5:40, with your EcoWater SoCal pregame show with Sammy Levitt. For our executive producer and imaging director, Paul Reindl. For Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Friday and a terrific weekend from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
Yeah, we got to make sure we save some time here, Benjamin, because we missed this last week.
I
was very disappointed.
I will.
I had vomit rising in my throat, and I really needed the likes.
You needed that segment to save you.
I did. I was legitimately vomited after the
what
show.
What was the cause of that? Did we ever determine
why you were
so nauseous at the end of last week?
I was sick all week,
yeah.
And then I had had way too much coffee. I was broadcasting from home. It was like an oven in there. My kids were running. Anxiety was like pinging. And then we got off the air, and I just went, hang on one sec. And I went right back to the bathroom and just booted.
Wait until you hear this this tweet that just came in from Tim Flannery.
Love
responding
Flannery.
To your tweet last night about the getting picked off and the bad base running lately. We'll get to that in a second. First, this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. What Flan has to say about all this right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So you want your players to be aggressive and go out there with an aggressive mentality, but Tim Flannery says, you probably should keep this in mind. Says, I used to coach saying, you guys lift weights all off season, hit in the cages for hours, watch videos of pitchers, all to get on base. The pitcher works out forever watching videos, and nine guys have gloves to catch the ball to keep you off base. So being on base must be important.
Very important.
So when you are on base, you should treat it like a valuable, precious commodity. And you should do whatever it takes to make sure that you are not erased from those base paths earlier than you have to be, before the third out is recorded. Should either be getting home or let those guys have a chance to drive you in. Now, there are opportunities to move to the next base, and you have to take those at times. But don't be giving up those chances once you get out there.
Well, it's like I said yesterday on the roundtable, man. If a pitcher, you know, buries one, ball skirts away from the catcher, you think you get a good jump, and you think you can take that extra bag, and he gets you by an inch. I'm not really mad at that. I'm not. Being picked off, though, is... Like, I understand wanting to get...
I mean, in stolen bases now, I believe the stat is you need to be successful, 80 to 90% of the time to make it metrically valuable to steal that base. That extra base is worth it, but only if you are making it between 80 and 90% of the time. If you're getting seven stolen bases, but you're caught three times out of those 10, you are hurting your team more than you're helping your team. You're padding your stolen base stats, but you're hurting your team if you're getting caught that many times.
Yeah, no question. I forgot about this. Somebody just tweeted me, we tied the game? That wasn't good enough for you? I mean, no, because at the end of the day, we didn't win the game, but I that was my point. You know, I wasn't trying to get the skipper all pissy at me, but I do. It really wasn't good enough for me in the fifth inning. I would answer that, given the opportunity. And no, it wasn't. It wasn't good enough for me. I like that you reframed it as I do have more faith in what those guys are able to accomplish rather than dropping one down.
Well, you want Jerickson Profar to have more faith. Jerickson Profar has taken great swings all year.
And his next AAB comes up and whack, you know, right into the gap, dude. Like, don't sell yourself short,
guys. And Mike Schilt said after the game, he didn't call for that.
I know. Just don't sell yourself short. Like,
but ultimately, I think it's important to remember, this is not the 1970s or the 80s where dictatorial managers have whatever say they want over a team, and it's their way or the highway.
Well, it's also not the 70s and 80s in that you have a pitcher hitting and a very weak 8-hole and
true.
A very weak 7-hole and a very weak leadoff, but gets on base.
You cannot be a successful manager nowadays without your players pretty much buying in and wanting to play for it.
Correct.
Would you agree with that? Would you also that based on the managers that A.J. Preller has hired, the players like playing for Mike Shildt more than any of the other managers they have had? Annie Green, Jace Tingler, Bob Melvin, Mike Shildt is number one,
number
and I don't think it's particularly close so far.
I don't either, and I don't get the sense it's because he just lets them run wild and do what they want. That being said, I mean, I watched an interview with Pro the other day, and I think Mara Luz asked him about it, and he goes, Mike Shildt. And I asked Crony about it a couple weeks ago. How's Shilty? Fantastic. Phenomenal. Best manager I've ever played for. You know, honestly, like, if that's what's coming out of the room, inherently that's a good thing, and you want that every single time. So, you know, you can, there's people in the fan base that they're always going to point to the manager. It's fine. You know where I stand. It's on the players. It's on the players to win baseball games. The manager needs to push the right button, sure. But once he pushes your button, it's time for you to execute.
I mean,
if you have Eniel De Los Santos on down the line, if you push my button, I got to get out.
If you have a bunch of yahoos on your team, the manager can't simply just be player's manager. I don't think the Padres are a team filled with a bunch of yahoos. They're baseball players. They're mostly smart and savvy baseball players. The right way to manage, and Mike Shildt said this to us, you know, smart players who know what they're doing, is to give them some freedom to do what they're supposed to do. Brian Dutcher does that at San Diego State with his teams. He says, you know what? We run a very disciplined defense. I let them kind of do what they want on offense. He's not the guy who pulls you for taking a bad shot. He knows it's going to happen every once in a while. And he's okay with that. I think Mike Shildt kind of goes on that same line that, yeah, mistakes will happen every once in a while when you give your team a little bit of freedom.
Sure.
But ultimately, you're going to be better off in the long run when you give your players the freedom to play baseball.
I mean, it's very much.
Short term, sometimes this is going to happen.
It's very much like parenting.
I guess we'll find out at the end of the season.
Mike Shildt is
right.
Yeah, we'll see.
That his team will be better off and will be better at the end of the season for growing through some growing pains right now.
Yeah, for sure. It's very much like parenting. You give them enough rope sometimes and say, here, go ahead. You know, let's see if you can handle this. It's just a series of tests. But if the skipper or a parent or a boss or whatever sees things trending in the wrong direction, that's when you have to step in. And like I asked him, that's when you step in and say, hey, we need to put the kibosh on the bunting or whatever it may be, the running and the extra bags and you know, the leads and secondary leads, whatever. Let's just make sure we're not running outs, guys. I'm going to put the red light on. One of the most surprising things I ever learned in this job ever was a former manager that told us, and I can't remember who it was, that damn near every single, maybe it was Skip, every person when he was playing with the Cardinals, maybe it was Greg Garcia, every person had a green light. Everyone. Yachty, Pujols, they all had a green light. Until they didn't. But they all had a green light. And I'm like, you're joking. Oh, no. No red lights at all. Until you got one. Right? And so some guys got it, some guys don't. But that surprised the hell out of me when he said, oh, no, Albert Pujols could run any pitch, any count, any base, anytime he wanted to go steal a bag, he could. Until he couldn't. And I just was blown away. And that's how a lot of these guys run their squads. Makes sense to me.
All right, let's finish the week with hopefully a little bit of a smile. Pauly has been working again, as always, to add to things Ben likes.
I like good, juicy, sweet strawberries.
I like a good marching band. I like a good, thin pancake.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
I like a barbecue chicken pizza. I really like those seats. I like a midnight buffet.
I kind of like the smell of soft scrub.
I like more of a small derriere.
I like cake.
I like Ed Sheeran.
I like both a hamburger and a cheeseburger. I like clocks. I like how I've kind of set up my life. I like grasshopper pie.
Oh, no, I like it creamy.
I like good, firm banana. I like just looking out at the sea. I like eating.
I like moist.
I like curry.
I like big butts.
I like fried Brussels sprouts. I like more of a firm filling. I like corn.
I like Nordstrom.
I do like musicals.
And I like pepperoni. I like nice hotels. I like Nick getting a start today. I like nuts. I like Steph Curry. I like that song.
I like Squirt.
I like Saki. I like San Diego State.
I like Straight Up, Paula Abdul.
I like to mix it up. I like Science Experiments. I like that song. I like the crispiness of the waffle. I really like cheese. Mm. I like the little lunch meat. I like very straight lines. I like cannelloni. I like a well-crafted headline. I like brown sugar. I like maps. I'll say I like Justin Turner.
I like going to golf games. I like diving into chores.
I like sugar.
I do like Butterfinger.
I like blue and silver are not bad colors.
I like the time change.
I like Major League Baseball's new rule.
I like the radio.
I like geography.
I like the knuckle method.
I like Skippy.
And I like pie.
I like Bob Melvin. I really do.
I liked Jace Tingler, too.
I like this day.
I like being right.
I still do like movie scores.
I like good food.
I like maps. Right.
I like when interviews can turn into organic conversation.
Oh, me too.
I do like a Stouffer's French bread pizza.
I like having the wind go through my hair.
I think I like shows that the characters have an arc.
I like the full lettuce, tomato, onion experience as well.
I like those kind of burgers.
I like the big overflowing bag of fries.
I like those little Smarties rolls.
I liked what I saw from Seth Lugo.
I liked his competitive fire.
I like walking around between the different lands.
Steve Kerr, though, I like that.
I like living on the coast.
I like watching Tiger still.
I like the idea of that matchup.
I liked what I saw in the preseason.
I like the aloneness sometimes of Texas Hold'em.
I like watching San Diego State basketball.
I like those cashew-buttered cashews.
I like cold, clear sake.
I like a lot of things.
I like Chick-fil-A sauce.
I just like rankings.
I like Steve Winwood.
I like Pie Gal Poker.
I like to be informed on subjects.
I like Chicago.
I like Tom Petty.
I like the idea of another left-handed bat in the lineup for sure.
I do like a good Matt Damon film.
Same. I like being on the same page.
I like broccoli. I like Brussels sprouts.
I like a lot of things.
I like this shirt.
I like Wipeout.
I liked my omelet. Mm-hmm.
I like San Diego State at home.
I like when a baseball player can be more than just a baseball player.
I like vanilla.
I like the atmosphere.
I like the felt on a poker table.
Just kind of how it feels under your fingers when you're there.
I like rhubarb pie.
I like the window seat.
Changing the subject. I like that.
I like just the standard yellow peep.
I like how San Diego State's playing right now.
I like finer things.
I like calling a game.
I like fiction more than nonfiction.
Just like the cream.
I actually like playing golf with other people.
I've liked everything I've seen so far from Mike Schill.
I like Mexican food.
I like just the solar system.
I do like steak.
I like specifics.
I like going to 7 Mile Casino during the day.
Good I like that people are man. There having a good time.
I like my new eating schedule. I liked what I was eating.
Yeah, I like the variety of the menu at Sammy's.
I do like a good midnight buffet.
That's insane. I've taken road trips shorter than that.
Never
literally.
Ends.
Road trips.
I like the San Diego County Fair. Let's go retro at the San Diego County Fair, opening June 12th, the magic of the Midway, live concerts, and a nostalgic celebration of fashion, culture, and more. Buy your tickets now online. Learn more on what's happening at sdfair.com. That's sdfair.com. All right, you're going to the game tonight.
Yep.
Padres trying to break their 5-game skid. 3 more against the Diamondbacks, and hopefully, when we come back on Monday, whatever happens, I just want them to win on Sunday so we don't have to play our losing Padres wrap-up yet again.
It's a shame if they lose.
For like the 8th or 9th straight show. Because this was a week that I do not want to duplicate going forward.
Hmm. Yeah, me neither. That was not fun. Not fun at all. Yeah, see us out at the ballpark, say hello. And happy birthday, our friend Maria in the chat. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Maria. Have a great weekend to all of you guys. Love you very much.
All right, that is it for us. Annie and Elston are coming up next. And then Gwen and Chris, and then Padres baseball tonight, 5:40, with your Eco Water SoCal pregame show with Sammy Levitt. For our executive producer and imaging director, Paul Reindl. For Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Friday and a terrific weekend from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.